Thank you, Ann. Glory. And you probably think that I paid her to come and tell you all the things that I want to say but shouldn't say. Yeah, listen to your pastor. I like that, Ann. You know, that's an extra 20 right there. There was a lot of good points in there, and I hope that you are paying attention, because see, it's about transforming our lives and our mindsets, and coming to a place where we're mature enough to be teachable. If we're not in the process of growing, we're in the process of dying. So we want to be mature enough to be teachable. We want to be grown up enough that we can't be offended by someone trying to teach us something, trying to share something with us. And that takes a little bit of maturity, because I know that when I was first a Christian, there were a lot of things that, you know, I needed to change. And yet if somebody came up and just told me about it, I was likely to rebel at the idea, because I rebelled at everything. It was just my inherent nature, and I was very good at it. So sometimes I even kind of rejoiced in that. But there was a thing that you had to begin to learn how to let God change you and change those things and take those things and begin to mold it. It's important for us that when we have an issue, for us to come into the light. Because it's so easy for us to forget that. It's so easy for us to go, oh, God, and try to hide away or try to change and try not to look at it. It's much easier. I found that it's a whole lot better to just, you know, gut up, man up, as they say, and step into it and go, okay, God, here it is. And you know what? Almost inevitably, the thing that you were facing was the fear of doing it more than doing it. You know, when God was breaking me of lying, and, you know, what he had me do was go to the people that I just lied to and tell them the truth. All right, now the fear of that was tremendous. Okay, I'm a baseball coach, and I've got two other guys there on the field with me. And then yesterday I told them something in practice that I shouldn't have said, and now you want me to go and tell them the truth? They're going to look at me like I'm a nut. And they did. But you know what? It only took about three of those incidents for me to decide the price ain't worth it. It ain't worth it. And to stop that behavior. But see, you have to give God the ability to work on us and let us be teachable so that we can go through that place. Like Ann said, unity is not about everybody being alike. Unity is about everybody pulling in the same direction. See, when we have a vision before us, when we can begin to look for a habitation that brings transformation, then we're all pulling in the same direction. There's a unity in that. There's a reason that I have, a lot of times when we open service, I'll have everybody pray in the Spirit together, because what I'm looking for is I'm looking to find that unity in the Spirit. And as soon as I feel enough collective unity in the Spirit, that I can go forward. Because see, what happens is we begin to collect to each other in unity in the Spirit, then we can begin to ascend. And there's no point in us trying to deal with things and have service and leave it just on a horizontal level. Because if we do that, then we might as well be a Baptist church. So let's begin to just unify in the Spirit. And that doesn't mean that I'm having the best day of my life. Sometimes sometimes the most remarkable things are that can happen to you when you've had one of your worst days. And yet you choose to yield it over to God. You choose to let him work through you and be a vessel for him in spite of those things that have gone on. In spite of the argument you just had with your spouse on the way in. Or in spite of the reason that that your son just had a big issue going on. And there's so many ways that you can do those things and allow God to move through you. One of the times that I remember that one of the most remarkable prophecies that God ever did was a time when I absolutely only showed up at this meeting because I had promised them I would be there. And if I give somebody my word, I'm going to do it. But my son had just blown up in my face big time. I mean, I was not in any mood to mess with anybody. And yet I walk into this home and there's this guy sitting on the couch, and the Lord says, I want you to read his mail. I'm going, Not now. I really don't want to do that. And he said, I want you to read his mail. Go sit down over there. So I went down and I sat down real close to him on the couch. He got up and left. I'm going, I'm off the hook. He said, no, I want you to follow him. So he's following him, and he's just about to enter in the kitchen. He's right there at the doorway to you know, there's a kitchen little bar thing, and I nail him right there, and I said, the Lord has something to say to you. And then God just begins to just flow, and I begin to tell him his life story. I've never met him, but I begin to tell him his life story, and he knows I've never met him. I've known, I don't even know anybody who knows him. And God, I realize as I'm going through this, not only is God delivering him, he's also delivering me in that same moment. And it's all about being ready to be used, allowing yourself to be used, regardless of how you came in the door, regardless of how you came into a situation. It doesn't matter whether you're at church or your job or you're at Walmart. Be aware and be ready for God to use you. Hallelujah. Okay. Because what we want to do is pursue, that is true unity in the Spirit, because then we're pursuing a goal. We're pursuing a vision, and that's what we're trying to build on here. The measure of love, to cap off one of the things that you were saying, the measure of love is what are you looking at? Are you looking at another's faults? Are you looking at their shortcomings? Are you looking at the treasure that's inside them? Because see, if we're focusing on the treasure, we'll get too busy with focusing on the treasure to even worry about the shortcomings that they might have. And when I can, especially, very important with a spouse, but if I look at the treasure and I begin to feed the treasure, then more things come forth. If I begin to feed the treasure in somebody, if I begin to recognize the treasure in somebody, then good things will come forth. It's a matter of consistency. It's a matter of doing it from the heart. In which desire to do so. Because as you're doing so, that in itself will build unity within your family. It'll be unity in your church. It'll be unity in your life. And the blessings that come with unity will be upon you. Hallelujah. All right. So, Anne, very good. That was awesome. I want to thank you. I want to thank you. A couple of things I want to share. Well, number one, Passover is this week. And I'm sure that there are various places around town where you can go and observe a Passover in a traditional way. Especially if you can find a Messianic. There's tremendous significance in all the elements that are given. The herbs all have a meaning. I'm sure Gary could probably share with some of those meanings of some of those things that are in the ordinances and whatnot that are observed. But part of it is for us, for a Christian, to realize, what does it mean for us? Because, see, Jesus is our Passover lamb. If you look at John 1:29, and John the Baptist declares him, "Behold, the Lamb of God." See, he's stating right there at the beginning of his public ministry his whole purpose. To become that offering that was made. To become that offering as they did with the Passover. See, the Passover was, the story of the Passover for you is in Exodus 12. And it's about God when he came to, while they were still in Egypt. And God said, I want you to take a lamb and slay it and take its blood and put it upon the doorpost and upon the lintel, upon the part that goes overhead. And then when I come through, then I will tell all my angels to pass over these houses that are thus marked. And so therefore he made a distinction. The whole purpose of it was as he was telling through Moses to Pharaoh, this day I will make a distinction between Israel and your people. See, the way we honor Passover today is that we show a distinction between us and those that are not. We show a distinction between us by how we live. If you would like to take a look, I want to look at 1 Corinthians 5 and 7. Because my question to the Lord was, okay, Lord, one of the things is it says that Passover is to be an ordinance for all forever. The celebration of the Passover is to be an ordinance forever. So how does that look for us as a Christian? How does that look for us today? Okay, and I have absolutely, if you guys want to partake in the feast and do that thing, I suggest you do that. I think that's awesome. Because there's great significance and beauty in the celebration. And not only that, I think that it's something that God honors. But 1 Corinthians 5 and 7 gives us an example of how Paul was looking this for the Christian. It says, clean out the old leaven, you that may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened. For Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed. So he's talking here to a group of people there was gross immorality within the camp, and they weren't saying or doing anything about it. Matter of fact, they kind of snickered about it and thought it was funny, apparently. Got to remember that in Corinth, that you know there were gods that were worshipped, and you know there were sexual acts that were considered religious acts that were done. So there's a lot of things that there was a lot of immorality just in the population because of the way that the other religions had done. And so Paul's beginning to address this situation, and he says, "Does therefore celebrate the feast not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." When we live our life in sincerity, in purity, and in truth, at that thing that is at the very basis, truth means that the thing, the reality at the basis of something. That means at the very basis of our existence is this Christianity, this truth that can be seen within us. This is a celebration of the Passover. As you begin to recognize and exemplify the truth of God, the love of God, in your walk and in your daily countenance and in your daily activity, then you are, in fact, observing the Passover, because you're observing the Lamb. You're observing all that He sacrificed for, and you're giving Him that place within your life in such a way that it can make a difference in someone else's life. So that's one way to observe, because we're to continue to hold it before us as a memorial. To know that like the Lord told Moses, when the children come and ask, why is this done? And we can look in Exodus 12. And I'm hoping I'll have time for one more thing that I want to share, because I was so excited the other day. Exodus 12, verse 26. And it will come about when your children will say to you, what does this rite mean to you? And then you shall say, it is a Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the sons of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians, but spared our homes. And the people bowed low and worshipped. See, in that celebration, in that moment, see, what they're celebrating was the deliverance of a people. What they celebrated was the old system, the inheritance of the old system. The Egyptian earth curse system died at that moment. And the new man, the church, the real church that God was beginning to build, was able to come forth in life. There's a celebration of a group. See, when they went in, they were a family. When Israel went into, the sons of Jacob went into Egypt in the first place, they were just a family. There were 70-some people. But when the Passover came, they came out of Egypt as a mighty nation. They came out of Egypt as a mighty nation. God is making a transformation in us as we begin to be aware of this Passover in our life. We begin to realize that He's making us into a mighty nation. Isaiah 61 says something about that, doesn't it? Is it 60, 61? Each one of us will become a nation. Let's take a look. I'm just totally going out of limb, but I just heard it in my spirit. Huh? Glorified Zion. Yes. Okay. It's Isaiah 60, verse 20. Your sun will set no more, neither will your moon wane. For you have the Lord for an everlasting light, and the days of your mourning will be finished. Then your people will be righteous. They will possess the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. Verse 22. And the smallest one will become a clan, the least one a mighty nation. And I, the Lord, will hasten its time. I, the Lord, will hasten its time. What God is getting us to realize is that He wants to do something with us to begin to cause us to begin to take hold of the dominion that He has already placed within us. To begin to spring forth in that dominion. To begin to spring forth and act like the nation that He has called us to be. Because we are a nation. We're a nation, maybe that we're surrounded by a geographical location, but we're a nation of people. A people who are peculiar unto Him. A people who are peculiar into a calling and the specifics of action. And we need to rise up as that nation. To realize that this Passover, we can observe the Passover by stepping through and stepping out of our own bondage as they did and into the freedom. Hallelujah. There was a separation that was happening between Egypt and Israel. There's a separation that happens in the celebration. We need to be looking to that separation between us and the world system, the bondage of the world system. Hallelujah. In Hebrews 10, I wanted to bring forth a little bit, because I got time, I think. I'll make it quick. I was coming unglued Thursday night because LaRue was all around it, but he didn't say it. I was right there, and I was like, okay, God. I had to share it with him. So as soon as service was over. But see, Hebrews 10, he's talking about the sufficiency of Christ, the sufficiency of that sacrifice for our sin. He was the Lamb of God. That Lamb was, the price was paid by the Lamb of God. And because of the blood that came from the Lamb, our sin is forever washed and cleansed. There's a sufficiency within. We don't have to worry about any of those things coming back because it's already been dealt with. The deal is we have to begin to realize that dominion is ours. Let's start with verse 9. He said, "Behold, I've come to do thy will." This is Christ. He takes away the first in order to establish the second. This is in Hebrews 10. Then verse 10, "We have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God," verse 13, this is where I want him to go, "waiting from that time onward till his enemies may be a footstool for his feet. And by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit bears witness to us forever after, saying, this is the covenant I'll make with them. And after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws upon their heart, and upon their mind I will write them." It caused it to bring it to my attention. He's from that time forth onward until his enemies be made a footstool with him, for him. And now I'd always looked at this as that he was waiting for the Father to make his enemies a footstool. Because there is that promise earlier in Hebrews. But that promise that was earlier in Hebrews was a repeat of what was given in the Old Testament. Came out of the Psalms. It was a repeat of what David had spoken prophetically. What I'm here to suggest to you this morning is He's waiting for us to take our place. He's waiting for the revelation of the sons of God to take their place, because all of creation has been groaning and waiting for this time for us to come and take our dominion, realizing that sin has been captured. Sin has been, we have been given dominion over it, and we are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. We are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. We are more than a conqueror for every obstacle and every situation that we stand against. We are to rise up and take command and take control and realize that the authority has been given into our hands. It is up to us to make our enemies a footstool for Christ. It's up to us to make the enemies a footstool and lay them under His feet and present it to Him, God, and say, God, here's this thing, this issue that I had, and now I'm delivering it to You. And lay it at His feet. Because the authority has been given to You. The covering has been given to You. The blood has been shed for You. And therefore, it is in Your sufficiency to do it. It's in Your bailiwick to do it, because He's already granted You that authority. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what I wanted to say. Glory. Yes. This week. Today is Palm Sunday. Yes. You want to come like say it on the mic? That would be easier.
This week is exactly the way it happened with Jesus. Palm Sunday was not Palm Sunday because Jesus was going into the city for Passover. The Last Supper was not the Last Supper. It was Passover. He is Jewish. God even told me, when Jesus was 13, He had a bar mitzvah. He was a Jewish man. And when we have Easter, it's exactly the way it happened in Scripture this week. I don't know in history if that's ever happened where it was exactly the way that... Exactly.
All right. Interesting. I'm sure in this long it probably has happened before, but that's awesome. So, Father God, we just ask You this day, Lord, place those things within our heart, Lord, that You want us to do and observe. Because, Lord, we want to observe You in all Your ways. We want to observe You in all Your fullness, Lord. Let the observance of who You are, let the observance, Father, of the things that You have already given into our hand, Father, the observance, Father, of the deliverance that You made, Father, for us through Your Son. Let those things be in our heart this day and this week. Lead us and guide us, Lord, that we may follow after You, that we may seek You and find You. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen.